Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
Good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk broadcast presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care. Find out more at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. And our thanks to HighSpeedWeb.net for streaming our signal 24/7, 365. Well, have you noticed what everybody's doing out there on the roads? Some people are going a little bit too fast. Some people are going through all those lights. And we thought we'd bring a man to the table to tell us why all this is happening. It's Captain Rob Stinson. He's with the Rock Hill Police Department. And, Rod, we appreciate you being here with us today. And tell everybody, since it's been a while since you've been on Straight Talk. Last time you were on, I think you were a lieutenant, weren't you?
Yeah, I think I was a lieutenant, probably somewhere around 2009 or so.
Well, here he is, a captain now. So tell us a little bit about Rod.
I've been here with the Rock Hill Police Department a little over 20 years. Started on the patrol division, our traffic enforcement unit. A couple other things I've done at the police department. I've been a patrol supervisor, lieutenant in community services, and now I'm responsible for the patrol division at the police department.
Which includes the traffic division,
right? Does include the traffic division, yes.
So when we say the traffic division, what is that? What does that mean?
Well, really, the traffic unit is part of the patrol division. Consists of a supervisor and four other officers currently who are responsible for traffic enforcement and education.
So these are the men and women who are out there looking for people racing up and down Cherry Road.
Part of their responsibility, yes.
What other responsibilities would they have?
They do a lot of traffic speed studies. So I'm a part of the traffic commission for the city of Rock Hill. And so some of the things that we discuss in there are traffic issues that occur around the city. That may be speeding issues. It could be residential streets where there might be some speeding or some other traffic issues. And so what I do is I give those to our traffic unit to focus on. But in addition to that, they're focused at night for impaired driving. Main thoroughfares, as far as speeding, disregarding traffic signals, any other traffic violation that's out there. That's their sole purpose or their primary focus.
And is most of their work based on what they're seeing or calls coming in saying, hey, there's an idiot out here doing this?
Both. It's calls, but most of it is being proactive and responding to issues that we already been made aware of, being in those areas that we've had complaints. And again, that varies across the city. And so they spread out, work those areas, try to educate and enforce as appropriate.
Do you encourage people who see errant drivers to call 911?
Absolutely. We get those calls often. It doesn't necessarily have to go to the traffic unit. Those are dispatched out to our patrol officers who also conduct traffic enforcement and education as well in between their calls for service. And so they respond to those accordingly and address them accordingly.
And I guess you would tell people who are going to make these calls to, see if you can get the type of car, color of the car, and if you can get the license plate, even better.
Yes. License plate, the vehicle, anything like that helps. Now, when it comes to enforcing it, obviously we have to see the violation. But most of the time we get calls like for a reckless driver. And if the caller stays with it long enough and we're able to get behind the vehicle, if we see a violation, we do stop them and address that violation.
So I want you to talk to me a little bit first about drunk drivers. Mm-hmm. Still a big problem?
Well, you have impaired driving a lot. When people think about impaired driving, they automatically just think about a person that's gone to a bar and partaking in a lot of alcohol. But impaired driving could be anything that affects your ability to operate a vehicle safely. So it could be medication, it could be drugs, illegal drugs, or alcohol. And so we have guys trained to detect those things and handle those accordingly.
And now, since most bars are closed down anyway, or they're operating on a very limited basis, I'm sure there's plenty of alcohol still being consumed, much of it, at wherever.
Yes, we still run across some incidents of where there's alcohol involved, but then there's others where it's illicit drugs that may be involved, and we have, again, officers that are trained to detect those acronym is DRE, drug recognition experts, to detect if it's not alcohol, if there's a drug or a medication or something that might be impairing their
And just this weekend, we had a motorcyclist killed by an impaired driver in the city of Rock Hill, correct?
Yes.
And just unless somebody were to see that driver in advance, there's no real way to have stopped that accident.
Unless the officer observed the driver and observed some key things that might suggest that they're impaired, or if someone had called in and maybe observed some poor driving or something like that for us to be called, then I really can't say it wouldn't happen. I don't know. But, you know, had we, somebody had noticed something and we were called, maybe. I just can't answer that directly.
All right. So here we are. York County, Rock Hill, wherever you are around here, it's growing.
Mm-hmm.
We have more people living in the city now than ever before. We probably have more cars on the road than ever before.
Uh-huh.
And I think our roads are better than ever before, thanks to Pennies for Progress.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is right outside Substation 2 here. We got a brand new, thank God, improved Cherry Road. Mm-hmm. It's actually smooth, and you can enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
But when we improve these roads, is your experience meaning we're setting up drivers to drive faster?
I wouldn't say that we're setting up drivers to drive faster. However, I think we can all attest that when the road is smoother, people tend to drive a little bit faster and not realizing it. But I don't think we're set people up to do that. We just have to be more conscious about our speed and you know, distractions and things like that, you know, cell phones and radios and things like that that might distract us while we're driving. So that's our point. When we make traffic stops, that is our point. We want to educate drivers. We enforce when we need to, but we spend more time educating drivers about distracted driving or about speeding or about disregarding traffic signals as much as we can.
All right, so give me the magic formula as to how that works. You see me tooling down Cherry Road 5 miles an hour too fast.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of going 45, I'm going 50.
Mm-hmm.
And you pull me over.
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to get an education or am I going to get a ticket?
For 5 miles per hour over? Yeah. I would venture to say most officers are going to probably give you a warning.
Warning.
Yeah.
But if I start going 10 miles an hour, I'm getting a ticket territory.
Well, I can't even say that. I mean, that's a myth out there that people think there's a particular set speed that you'll get a ticket. When we stop vehicles, we're looking at we're looking at the speed, but we're also looking at circumstances. You know, if Winthrop is in session right across the street here and the speed limit is 35 through here, we're probably going to enforce it a little more strict because you have students crossing the road. So it will be the officer's discretion whether or not he wrote you a ticket at 5 miles per hour or 10 miles per hour, but I would venture to say that most would probably educate before they would write a citation.
It saves everybody a lot of trouble, doesn't it?
Yeah, but let me say this too. You know, if we've been getting a lot of complaints, say right here in front of this location, and we've had vehicle collisions, we've had a lot of complaints or whatever, then yeah, you may see a little bit more enforcement, you know, citations versus warnings. But again, it's officer's discretion once they make that traffic stop.
And that's the way it works. It's officer's discretion. They're the ones that see what's happening out there.
They're the ones that see what happens. They may make a determination on based on how egregious the violation is or anything like that.
And the attitude of the driver.
The attitude of the driver could play a factor, but, you know, what we try to do is focus on the violation, not so much, you know, the attitude of the driver.
I notice you have a body camera on.
I do.
Does that get triggered as soon as you go talk to somebody who's speeding?
It triggers as soon as we activate our blue lights.
Blue light. Mm-hmm. You can't get away. I think those things are great. I mean, yes. I think that's good for everybody. Okay, so the big thing that's driving this conversation today happens to be a noticeable increase in the numbers of people who seem to think red means something other than stop. Mm-hmm. That, I mean, I see it all the time. I'm not perfect, but I don't run red lights. Mm-hmm. I have been at intersections, major intersections, where mm-hmm. that thing hits red and somebody's zooming through there. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking to myself, my God, they could have had a hell of an accident here if they had missed their projection of getting through that intersection. So, I mean, how do you, do you sit at intersections and look for this kind of stuff?
When I was on the road as a patrol officer and working in the traffic unit, yes, I did sit and watch for those things. And sometimes our officers do now, depending on what they're working on, prioritizing what they're working on. So, yes, you may see an officer kind of monitoring an intersection where people tend to run red lights. I can tell you Celanese and Mount Gallant, even Mount Gallant and Cherry are two intersections that sometimes we do watch and monitor for violators that run the red light. And I think it's because people are a little bit in a hurry. I'm in a hurry to get where we're going. So a lot of times you make those traffic stops and it's the yellow light turning into the red light. And you see the car that speeds up to try to beat the yellow light or beat it before it turns red. Sure. And so we make those stops too and try to educate or enforce in those situations too, because that's where we see a lot of collisions happen.
And at those speeds on a two four-lane highways, like down here at Heckle and Cherry, mm-hmm. When somebody's come barreling down that hill at 45 mm-hmm. or 50 miles an hour and they're trying to run an intersection, mm-hmm. whew, yes. You could kill somebody.
It could be a very violent collision. And, you know, we talk about fatalities, but we want to reduce accidents as a whole and reduce injuries that occur from collisions.
So what is your data on, what's the current data in terms of fatalities, in terms of accidents, what have you?
Well, in the state of South Carolina for this year, we are right around 500 fatalities in a statewide. Now, that's down from 2019 by like 20 fatalities, but 500 is a lot of fatalities. Mm-hmm. One is too many. And so as far as in the city of Rock Hill, I believe we've had, including the most recent one, I think maybe three in 2020. And so that is the current statistics. I do not have it for York County as a whole at this time, but when you break those down and you look at, since we're talking about traffic lights, I think one of the three that we've had so far, I'm sorry, it was toward the end of 2019, that was for failure to your right of way.
There we go. Yeah. I mean, there you go. So, when it comes to these, we were talking before we went on the air about these traffic lights. Now, our lights are not what I would call computerized. In other words, with cameras out there looking at traffic flow and the computer making a decision about whether it's red or green. We don't have that. They're timed. Is that correct?
Yes. I can't speak a lot to the makeup of a camera and how they work, but from what I understand, most of your traffic lights are on a timer. Some are, you know, when a vehicle stages, so many vehicles stage, so it's on that timer or whatever to, I guess, set to an intersection, I'll put it that way. So if it's, let's take Cherry Mount Gallant since I mentioned that. I'm sure those lights are on a timer to allow Cherry Road to flow, to keep traffic from backing up, but also not allowing Mount Gallant to back up so much before Mount Gallant flows. But that's a very busy intersection.
Oh, yeah.
A whole lot of traffic in that intersection. So there's a lot of things that are being done to improve, to help traffic flow better and keep everybody safe in those intersections. But we have to do our part as drivers to not get in a big hurry.
Well, Pennies for Progress has done a lot to improve not only the roadways, but the intersections, you know, so that they flow better. And with that comes new signalization. I mean, we've done an awful lot. But it still gets back down to the basic driver. Mm-hmm. And when they put 45 out there on Cherry Road, most times of the day, that's pretty reasonable. Mm-hmm. And what the thing that frustrates me is, like I told you before, mm-hmm. from where I live to I-77 down Cherry Road, 16 traffic lights. 16 mm-hmm. traffic lights. Mm-hmm. And some days, it's just one after another. You stop, 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 stop. Other days, you know, you can flow. Mm-hmm. So it's the luck of the draw in terms of the level of traffic, mm-hmm. how that traffic is flowing, mm-hmm. whether somebody's in a hurry, whether somebody's not in a hurry.
Right.
But therein is another issue, is it not? People who don't stay with the flow. If you got 45 miles an hour and they want to trickle down there at 30 or 35, it slows the world down.
It could slow it down, but sometimes that's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. I just think sometimes we as drivers get in too big of a hurry, and that's where most of our collisions occur, whether they're rear-end accidents or missing that stoplight or disregarding or rolling a stop sign or whatever. Those are what cause the accidents. Those are what cause the injury, and sometimes can be fatal.
For sure. Yeah. We're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break, remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Chariot Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Also with us today, Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. And, of course, we hang out here every day at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes 7 days a week. Captain, I want you to help us with this. The white letters over here, we all say it together at the count of three. One, two, three. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration and Remodeling. If your home or business is damaged by water, fire, storm, or mold, Paul Davis is here to help. We are staffed with over 35 trained and certified professionals to handle any type of property damage. Our team mission is to provide extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Whether you need repairs in one room or rebuild a whole home, Paul Davis is here to help. Find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Does your business need to operate more efficiently? Whether you're uploading or sharing large data files, using web-based applications, or streaming high-definition video, businesses demand more bandwidth. Comporium's Business Class Internet with speeds up to 1 gig and dedicated Ethernet options can meet any of these needs. Keep your business growing and growing efficiently. Call Comporium Business Services and learn more about business class internet options, or go online to Comporium.com.
Need extra cash? Relax. Founders has personal loans for all needs. Whether you're knocking off items from your quarantine home renovation list or consolidating existing debt, there's a loan for you. Our flexible loan options offer low rates to give you the confidence you need. Visit Relax, join Founders.com to see if you qualify for membership. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
This is Dr. Karen Jenkins, Emergency Room Director at Piedmont Medical Center. When someone is experiencing a life-threatening emergency, such as a stroke or a heart attack, every second counts. Piedmont Medical Center's emergency departments in Rock Hill and on Gold Hill Road in Fort Mill are open 24/7 to treat life's unexpected emergencies. Even in the middle of a pandemic, our commitment to providing safe, high-quality emergency medical care in our community remains strong. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
There are very few genuine money managers in America, and one just happens to be your neighbor. If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see what a money manager can do for you. Anderson Griggs, 324-5044, or go online to AndersonGriggs.com.
This is Charlie Ruffalo. I want to personally thank everyone for supporting Substation 2 during this pandemic. This has not been an easy time for many of us, but you keep coming back day after day for our fresh subs and salads, and that has helped us keep the doors open and our employees on the payroll. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Rock Hill and York County, for supporting Substation 2 these past 34 years, and especially now. Substation 2 really loves you. Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Captain Rod Stinson is with us from the Rock Hill Police Department, and amongst his many duties, he is responsible for the traffic division. And as we've just heard, that's a bunch of officers who are looking out for people who are driving too fast, driving erratically, driving under their whatever the influence might be, drugs, alcohol, what have you. I also notice an awful lot of other police vehicles out there, highway patrol, what have you, sometimes see the sheriff's office. I mean, do you all work in conjunction with each other on this issue?
Absolutely. We have great partnerships with our other law enforcement agencies here in York County, Cyclone Highway Patrol, York County Sheriff's Office, Clover, TKK, Fort Mill, and York. We're all a part of the 16th Circuit Law Enforcement Network. Our department, kind of the liaison or the head of that network here in the 16th Circuit. And so we do events periodically here in Rock Hill. And we also go out and help the other agencies here in York County to focus on impaired driving and traffic issues.
So when a holiday comes up, mm-hmm. let's just say, what's our next holiday? Let's say it's Labor Day.
Labor Day. Mm-hmm.
Do you all get together prior to that and say, okay, we got this long holiday weekend. Mm-hmm. We're going to have probably some hot spots here, and here. Mm-hmm. How can we jointly work to make sure that we keep those areas safe?
Mm-hmm. We do have those conversations, and there's also initiatives that the state may put out, you know, regarding seatbelts or anything else, and we try to work within those initiatives because, as I shared with you some numbers earlier, our goal is to drive those numbers down. So we want our fatality numbers to go down. We want our injuries from accidents to go down. And the way to do that is to get out there and educate and enforce. And so we have to partner with these other agencies sometimes to work on these things, have that high visibility, that presence out there so people see us and think, you know, hey, I need to slow down today. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's the ultimate goal.
You know, the high visibility is a key thing. I can remember, I don't know whether it was here in Rock Hill or when I lived elsewhere some 35 years ago, but I remember there was a time when one of these police departments said, you know what, we're just going to take a vehicle, one of our vehicles. We don't have enough manpower to man them all. We're going to put it out there on a major road. We're going to put some lights on it and just leave it there. Now, do we still do that kind of stuff?
We do not do that. Right. If it's out there, we're going to have somebody in it. Somebody's going to be in it. But again, you know, the partnerships have been great. Working relationships are great. And we'll continue to do that because, again, ultimately we want to reduce these fatalities and we want to reduce injuries and collisions in general.
Well, you know, I know that the law enforcement departments work together on drug task forces and what have you. But what you're telling me is you have that same relationship
yes.
when it comes to traffic.
Yes, sir.
Shoo. So on a busy, busy weekend, when you know there's going to be like 4th of July, mm-hmm. when everybody, well, not this one, but yeah. normally when people are traveling, mm-hmm. you would have, with this partnership of all these different departments, you might have what, 30, 40, 50 officers out there on roads all over the county?
Potentially, yeah. You could potentially have 40, 50 officers or more all over, you know, working together trying to address these numbers.
Wow. All right, so as we see this community growing, which it's going to continue to do so, mm-hmm. now we're going to be getting soon the Carolina Panthers mm-hmm. down here. What's running through your head in terms of what you're going to have to do mm-hmm. to even deal with a larger volume of traffic?
Well, we understand that there'll be a larger volume of traffic. We'll continue to do some of the things that we're already doing, continuing to maintain our work relationships with other agencies because we'll need to have that. And right now, just taking it day by day, just seeing how things unfold and address any kind of issues or potential issues as we go forward.
But as you told me in the first part of the program, mm-hmm. you could use some help from John Q. Public.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you guys can't be everywhere all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So take me through the process of what somebody should do if they really see somebody out there who's just being irresponsible the way they're driving.
Just pick up the phone and, you know, give us a call. Like I said, most people do that anyway. Give us a call. Give us a description of the vehicle. If you can safely do so, give us the tag number, whatever. We don't want anybody to put themselves in any danger, obviously. But they can provide that information and call our dispatch. Our dispatch will put that information out to officers in the area, and they'll be in the area looking out for that vehicle.
By call, you mean by call 911?
If it wants 911, or you could call, if you know the non-emergency number or anything, you could call that. But 911 would work.
Yeah.
Transfer it right over to our dispatch, and we'll put that information out. Especially if it's something egregious and they're all over the road. Yes, call 911, because it could be an impaired driver. could be someone having a medical emergency. We don't know, but we want to try to get that vehicle stopped.
Now, my inclination, being the idiot that I can be at times, I might just want to travel, follow this car. Not a good idea?
If you're doing it safely and following the all the laws and everything. We don't want you running red lights and trying to pull anybody over yourself or anything. But if it's that bad and you need to keep eyes on it and you can do that safely, a dispatcher will walk you through that, you know.
So talk to me a little bit more about education. We talked about what you try to do when you pull somebody over. Mm-hmm. You prefer to do an education conversation rather than a ticket conversation. Mm-hmm. But do you do outreach, you know, I don't know, go to schools or what have you on this?
Absolutely. Schools, we talk to teenage drivers. We go to community meetings. We provide information from the department, brochures, what have you. Or if someone just calls us and wants us to come out and talk to their group or whatever, we do all those kind of things. A lot of community outreach to educate.
And when you talk to a teenage driver mm-hmm. who considers themselves invulnerable, I mean, they're not vulnerable to anything. Mm-hmm. What do you try to do? Just say, let me tell you about this kind of an accident, this kind of an accident, what could happen?
Personally, I use, in general, some scenarios, things I've seen, had to deal with. And just kind of put that out in front of them. These are the things that we see out here from vehicle collisions. Help them understand what a vehicle can do. You know, that is a big piece of metal that can cause a whole lot of damage if you're not careful out here. And, kind of share that information with them. Not so much to scare them, but to make them more aware, give them a heightened sense of awareness about the dangers of driving out here and why it's important to pay attention. You know, put down the cell phones and not pay so much attention to the radio, those kind of things, and pay attention to the roadway.
And you know, you mentioned cell phones. How many of the, I don't know, blue lights are going off because people are texting and driving?
We do make some stops for that. The law, the way it's written, you know, doesn't give a lot of leverage there, but, you know, we are able to stop vehicles currently. And educate drivers about texting and driving, or even dialing a number and driving, you know, just paying attention to that road, not getting distracted by your phone.
And I would bet if you analyze the data, you would find a lot of these accidents statewide mm-hmm. are caused by that doggone phone.
I would say probably so. I don't have that data with me. You probably have a lot of collisions that may have occurred because of the phone or some other distraction.
Right.
Yeah.
Distractions.
Yeah.
Well, Captain, I thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for the
service that you and all the officers of the Rock Hill Police Department do. And you get your work cut out for you, don't you?
We do, but, you know, again, we take it day by day go ahead and just try to make a difference.
Well, good. Thank you for being with us today. Appreciate all that you do.
Thank you.
And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program today, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. And, of course, we broadcast live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, where we prepare fresh subs and salads 7 days a week right before your eyes. Anybody who's anybody knows how we do it here at the count of three. Let's tell them. 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
That's the way it should be done. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.